to the Gym Podcast. Uncut, unfiltered, unreal.
Welcome everyone to the Gym Podcast.
Welcome everybody.
I'm your host, Jimbo Fisher. Joining me as always is the one, the only, Randy Darsh!
Hello, everybody. We are very glad to be back. We unfortunately could not have a real Week Zero episode. Our schedules kind of didn't work out. But I am very happy to be back. I'm excited. We have a lot to talk about.
There's a lot going on here. Randy, first and foremost, how you doing? How's the summer?
Summer's been great. You know, the wife is pregnant. We're going to find out the gender in about a week, actually. So,
oh my gosh.
It's been very hot. I know you wouldn't know anything about hot days in the summer, but
No. It's only like 90 degrees here right now as we're recording this. I know that's like really cold for you guys. So, yeah, it's been a fun summer. Unfortunately, it went by really fast, wouldn't you say? Like, I remember wanting to do a gym podcast with you over the summer, but like all of a sudden it's late August. You know, it just kind of happens.
I noticed the same thing, dude. I was thinking, because we kept talking about an off-season episode, it's like I blinked and all of a sudden, not only was summer over, it's like I blinked and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, wait, week zero starts tomorrow. We have college football tomorrow.
Know, like,
it's usually like there's like this giant countdown in anticipation, but it snuck up on us this time. All right, so first off, let's just do a quick recap of the off-season. And there's only two main things I can think of to bring up. And one was Michigan being officially declared cheaters by the NCAA and Harbaugh getting a, what is it, four-year show cause?
I'm kind of out of the loop on this, honestly, Randy. I know you are a much bigger Michigan hater than I, so if you could fill me and the audience in on the allegations.
I have heard you. Oh, that is not true. I have heard you go in many anti-Michigan rants. You went on a huge rant about them whenever they came to play Wisconsin one time.
It's true.
But from what I can tell, he actually has a show cause. Connor Stallions is getting officially investigated by the NCAA. There are more and more news tidbits kind of coming out about it. But yeah, I'm actually surprised that the NCAA is having some teeth to investigate this and make some kind of declarations. Mm-hmm. We are also seeing with the NCAA, they're actually setting up guidelines now to actually enforce, you know, kind of fake NIL deals where it's just ultimate pay for play.
Right.
They're actually enforcing that, like, and have some real guidelines. And I find that to be very positive, and I'm optimistic about the sport as a result of that. I thought they were just going to be a toothless, not do anything, let it just be a Wild West, but I'm kind of glad to see that and pleasantly surprised.
We'll see how it pans out, but the NCAA definitely did need to step up in regards to NIL and, of course, the cheating. I real quick, regarding Connor Stallions, I saw, like, there's, like, a Netflix documentary or something that came out, like, very recently. Have you heard about this?
I have heard about it. I have not watched it, but the review that I saw of it was basically along the lines of it's dubious at best. Like, it tries to paint him in a positive light, and it's kind of weird how obsessive the kid is.
Yeah, it's any documentary like that that's whipped up that fast, you have to wonder who's behind this.
But it's not in a type of obsessive where like you expect a head coach of a football team to be obsessive about their, you know, career and everything. It was the type of obsessive where he got the job because of how personally obsessive he was, kind of
interesting.
Thing.
Interesting. The manifesto. Did we ever see the manifesto? It's been like a year.
We have not seen the Michigan manifesto that he created to make Michigan into like a national championship team in a few years. Technically, it worked.
It worked. We'll see if it stands, though. I mean, with the NCAA investigating all
that's
that.
True.
Wow.
Very true. And another big piece of news is the Saban retirement. Did you want to give your quick thoughts on what you think will happen to the Alabama program?
Wow, on the spot here. To be honest, I can't talk too much trash because we do face Alabama in week three this year. I will say I am very interested to see just how much of Alabama's tremendous success was because of Saban or because of perhaps the program itself. You know, it'll be interesting to see if Bama can sustain some level of success. I don't expect them to be as good as, you know, under Saban, but to see if they can compete year after year as at least like a playoff contender, without Nick Saban at the helm, I think is gonna be fun to watch from an outside perspective.
So I'm going to plead the fifth here because I don't want to jinx anything. But let's just say we had a very positive offseason. Mm. And I know like people don't necessarily follow recruiting as strong because of all the transfers and everything.
Right.
But we got massive recruiting buzz. And we have, I think, the number one ranked recruiting class. So we haven't skipped a beat there. And we got a lot of players we didn't quite expect to get. So it shows we're not missing a beat. And Kalen DeBoer, he knows what he's doing. I'll just say that. He's always successful wherever he goes. So we're gonna trust him, you know.
Trust the process. We'll see. Will you at least, like, do you have, like, lowered expectations for year one? Like, are you trying to go in, like, somewhat, you know, realistic with all this? Or are you still, like, gung-ho national championship or bust?
Gung-ho national championship or bust.
All right. That's the attitude.
We have a lot of talent, and we have a great coach and a veteran quarterback. I don't see why we can't.
All right. I'm quoting you on this. Alabama's winning the national championship.
Oh, yeah. Put me on it. I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic.
All right. There you have it, folks. First lock of the season.
All right, so let's move on to a quick week zero recap.
Please.
So I just wanted to say, while watching these games, mm-hmm. especially the first three games of the season, all I could think in my head was, this is literally the greatest sport known to man, because the first three games of the season are all three amazing games, two of which feature, like, these amazing come-from-behind victories, a top-10 upset on a last-second field goal. You see players like Haynes King for Georgia Tech, their quarterback, like, crying and stuff, and they're just so happy. And I'm about to give my scalding take that I kind of mentioned to you off the air. I think college football is actually in a better spot than it's ever been and has the most hope for the future than it's ever had.
That is hot.
And it is a very hot take, but I think we're kind of settling down on the whole NIL pay-for-play thing. It's kind of becoming a little bit more organized. And it's college football is still ultimately retaining that amateurish kind of vibe, right? Mm-hmm. It's I call it semi-amateur, where players get paid, yes, but it's not like they're getting paid millions and millions and millions.
Well,
maybe some of them, a couple of them.
Yeah,
but for the most part, they get paid a decent lump sum of money, but maybe not necessarily super life-changing, like generational wealthy money,
sure.
So it helps kind of retain the amateurism. Plus, like, let's face it, we know the players at Georgia Tech are not getting paid the same as, like, Florida State players.
True.
Down the board.
And still they won. And still they found a way to honestly come out and, I think, in many ways dominate Florida State from just a pure physicality standpoint, which I wasn't expecting. I mean, I thought Georgia Tech would win. I didn't think they'd win like this. That game was, like, for week zero, that might have been the best week zero game we've ever had in college football. Would you agree?
It was just so unexpected. That's what I also love about the amateurish still nature of the sport, is because these players are so young, you often never know what you're going to get.
Right.
And nobody expected Georgia Tech to be physical on both sides of the line, to just physically dominate Florida State of all teams.
I got to say real quick regarding Florida State, I do need to kind of be a hater for just like a 1 minute. If you'll allow me to, folks. You know what's interesting? I'm sure you've been in this position, right? Maybe not as an Alabama fan, but you've seen teams, you know, come out and play very well, get lots of yards, get lots of first downs, dominate time of possession, right? But lose the game because of dumb, like, mistakes and bad luck. I'm talking things like turning the ball over in the red zone, you know, missing field goals, you know, lots of penalties, flags, and stuff like that. Ultimately, even if you outplay an opponent, you lose the game because of those mistakes. With Florida State, they made no mistakes. Zero turnovers. They had, I think, one penalty the entire game. Their kicker drilled these, like, 50-yard field goals back-to-back, and they still lost.
Including a 59-yard field goal.
Yeah, and they still lost. So, like, they executed flawlessly and still got beat. So this team is in shambles, dude. Like, Florida State sucks this year, is what I'm saying.
I noticed that same thing, too. Like, I was kind of looking at the highlights, and I was trying to find that one specific moment where they really screwed up or whatever. And it was like, no, they didn't lose the game. Or, I mean, they didn't give the game away. They just straight up got beat by a more physical, better prepared team.
And I just think it's funny that immediately we saw certain, let's say, commentators in the industry saying, well, this is perfect. This is why we have a 12-team playoff now for a team like Florida State to make the playoffs. Like, folks, they're not making the playoffs. This is not a playoff team by any...
It's kind of funny when you hear people say things such as, well, I mean, you know, with the 12-team playoff, if they go 11-1, they can still make it in. Dog, if they play like that, they're not going 11-1.
They'll be lucky to make a bowl game if they keep this up. I mean, it was bad. So, I'm glad, as a hater, I'm glad to see this happen.
Yeah. All right, so without further ado, we did have two great fourth quarter comebacks. We're not going to go into too much detail, but again, that just paints the whole big picture of how amazing the sport is. There were two three-sport comebacks. So Congratulations to SMU and Montana State as well.
SMU, ACC powerhouse. SMU.
ACC powerhouse, yeah, that's right.
Love to see that.
Without further ado, I guess we can move on to some week one thoughts and predictions.
Let's,
you ready?
Let's do it. I'm really excited. We got a good week one slate coming up here.
We really do. I'm not really seeing anything as far as the Thursday slate goes.
Well, there's one game. There's one game I wanted to talk about on Thursday.
Go ahead.
North Carolina versus Minnesota. Folks, you know my thoughts. I am a hater.
You're such a hater, bro.
For what it's worth, the spread on this game is UNC's favored by 2. So this could be a close game, a game to watch out for. I'll say that much. Every other game, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, P5 versus FCS type matchups. The one P5 FCS matchup you should also keep an eye on for real quick, North Dakota State versus Colorado. I'm just saying, it would be really fun to see Dion get exposed to an FCS team in week one.
That is going to be a very interesting game to watch. I'm definitely going to keep my eyes on this one. I have no idea how Colorado's going to do this year. I don't think anybody has any clue. Let's face it. Nobody would be surprised if Colorado went like 12-0 or if they went 1-11.
I'd be surprised if they're that good. I think they could be good, like 9-3 good. I don't think they're going to dominate. I don't think they'd be a playoff team at all.
And let's face it, Dion's gone after his son graduates anyway. I mean,
oh, for sure.
More than likely.
And hey, Florida State might be looking for, you know, a new head coach soon. So it would make sense for Dion to come home. I mean, the timing is perfect at this point. So
It is true. All right. Moving on to Saturday.
Friday morning. We got to talk Friday.
Oh, you have a Friday game as well. Okay.
Well, I'm just saying, folks, keep an eye out. 8 p.m. Central, Western Michigan versus my beloved Wisconsin Badgers. We're playing on Friday. I'm going to the game. Okay. Looking forward to it. That's all I'll say.
Nice. That'll be fun.
Should be. All right. Saturday. The real deal. Let's get to Saturday.
Now, like you got a Saturday morning. So we actually start off the morning hot with Clemson and Georgia in the Atlanta Mercedes-Benz. It's the Aflac kickoff now. Not the Chick-fil-A kickoff. It's the Aflac kickoff.
Interesting. Does Nick Saban have anything to do with that? Or
I have no idea. Him and Dion are on the commercials together, I know. But I am curious to see how this game... Well, I have a couple thoughts.
Okay.
One, I need to go on a rant about Georgia fans.
Please.
So, Georgia fans, they kind of do this thing that we do as Alabama fans, but a very, like, watered-down, crappy version of it, where, you know how as Alabama fans, we'll say, like, anybody can beat us on any given day. We can't just, like, take an opponent mm-hmm. or, like, take it for granted, et cetera, right?
Right.
They do a worse version of that where they'll like look at a team that's worse than them and say, well, you know, who knows? Anybody could win this game. And it's like, dude, it's clear what they're trying to do and how they say it.
Right.
Where they want to not assume they're going to win. But it's done in such a weird, not being in line with reality kind of way. It's dishonest. It's fake humility. And I cannot stand it. And I just wanted to bring it up.
Fake humility.
Because like, at least with us, we'll say we should win this game, but we could screw it up and lose.
Right, like you expect to win. And like, yeah, you respect the opponent, but you also go in knowing that you probably will destroy them, kind of a thing.
Exactly. You can have it both ways, and they don't, and it bothers me.
And this is such a perfect matchup for that kind of hubris from a Georgia fan, because Clemson is a team that, yes, they're still a big name. You know, they've won national titles under Dabo, but like, on the other hand, Clemson, let's be real, like, they've kind of fallen off, you know. And I think Clemson will be good this year, but, like, 14th ranked Clemson does not pose a serious threat to Georgia. Like, they're two touchdown underdogs for a reason, and Georgia fans should know this. Like, they should know they're probably going to win this game.
Honestly, the way they talk about the game is a little disrespectful to Clemson with the fake humility kind of thing I've noticed, where it's like, oh, I'm really nervous about this game. But they talk about that in a way that implies that they're expected to win kind of thing. I mean, I get that they are. It's
like
hard
a little
to articulate.
Kid. It's like if you're playing basketball against like an 8-year-old and you're like dominating them and you're just like, you know, nice shot, kid. Even though you're like you're like letting them win almost. I don't know. There's just a weird power dynamic between Georgia and like almost every opponent they face.
Yeah. It's very true. So I won't, you know, speak too much about Georgia.
No.
In those regards, I will get too hyped up and ramped up, but I could definitely see Clemson actually winning this game.
Really? after all that.
I'm not going to. I say that, but I predict Georgia to win by probably like 2 or 3 touchdowns.
I think the only way Clemson has a shot here is if Carson Beck just comes out and totally lays an egg. You know, he's historically kind of had to play this game manager role for Georgia, and that's fine. But if he tries forcing things a bit too much and, you know, has a few turnovers, just some really bad kind of, you know, frantic throws here and there, Clemson could get maybe kind of lucky, get like a pick six or two. But if that doesn't happen, and I'm assuming that doesn't happen, I think Georgia wins pretty comfortably.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Carson Beck, he can steer the ship, but we'll see what happens if Clemson can kind of get them in trouble.
Right.
So without further ado, we'll move on to...
Penn State, West Virginia? We got to talk about that, man. Saxo Steve's out there listening. We got to talk about this. For whatever reason, I'm looking at this spread right now. Penn State's only favored by 8. Does that surprise you?
No, I know West Virginia went 9-4 last year. They had a decent year, even though they did get destroyed by Penn State in week one. I'm trying to remember if Neil Brown is still their head coach, because he's been kind of a, they've been kind of in a weird position where they're just like a 6-6 perennial team, but sometimes we'll go 8-5. So he's just kind of sort of on the hot seat, but not really.
He still is the head coach. We know our facts here on the Jim Podcast, but yeah, he's still the head coach of West Virginia.
Yeah, this is a professional production. We don't look them up on the spot during the episode or anything.
No. I mean, for what it's worth, this is in Morgantown. This, to me, seems like the kind of game where West Virginia plays really hard, and it's probably a game in the fourth quarter. But Penn State probably finds a way to pull ahead, despite their terrible offense. I really do think Penn State is going to have one of the saddest Big Ten offenses this year. It's a prediction.
They have Drew. Do they still have Drew Aller?
They sure do. And he's just so not good. Drew Aller.
No, he's not. I remember watching him in the Ohio State game, and he's just
he can't do much. But they got a good run game. They got a good run game, and that should be enough, I think, to take care of business on the road.
All right. We also have Miami versus Florida Florida.
This might be the best game of the week, if I'm being honest. In terms of just like closeness.
I'm surprised.
I mean, I really do think these are going to be two pretty evenly matched teams. Florida is in a weird position where they probably could be a fringe top 25 team, but their schedule is so tough this year that no one's ranking them. If Florida can beat Miami, I'm just saying, look out, because they've got some serious potential to like have some huge upsets later this season.
You already know this is going to be a chippy, really tough, hard-fought game.
Oh, yeah.
Florida's, I kind of worry about Billy Napier. He's on the hot seat, kind of.
Is he still their coach?
Yes, he is. I'm saying the wheels could fall off for Florida this season very fast, and they really have to win this game, to be honest. Like, almost every game on their schedule is a must-win, because the wheels could fall off very fast, and it's such a tough schedule. They have to give it their all. Right. But I almost feel like it's a little cruel for them to have to play 2:30 p.m. in Gainesville, Florida, in freaking August.
It's going to be 88 degrees, it looks like, at the time. I mean, it's a Florida heat, though, right? So it's probably going to be very humid, I imagine.
It's going to be very swampy. The stadium's going to live up to its name. It's going to be very swampy. 88's really not that bad, but it's just going to be so swampy and humid and muggy and uncomfortable.
You know, I've seen people saying Miami is kind of a dark horse to win the ACC. What do you make of that? Do you think Miami has a serious chance to actually like make the playoffs this year?
Well, because of the 12-team playoff, absolutely. The thing with Miami is they have such a stupidly easy schedule. Their toughest opponents are going to be what? Florida, Louisville, Florida State, maybe Duke or something. Georgia Tech, I guess.
You're right. I'm looking at their schedule now. The only ranked team they play all year as of right now is Florida State, who probably isn't going to be ranked very high after this weekend.
But they're always so undisciplined of a team. I know Mario Cristobal is like the ultimate recruiter that stacks up all this talent, which he's admittedly done, but they are always so sloppy and lose games in the stupidest way. If you remember the Georgia Tech game last year, all they had to do was knee it out, but instead ran it and fumbled it, and Georgia Tech won.
I attribute some of that to the ACC just being so soft overall. I mean, this looking at their schedule, man, Florida A&M, Ball State, South Florida, you know, like Duke, Wake Forest, Syracuse, like no one's going to test them. Like no one's going to force them to get better. And so I don't know, man, I think the ACC in general this year, dude, is probably the worst of the four power conferences by a pretty big margin. Honestly, the more I think about it.
They really might be. The Big 12, I think, is actually going to be fairly decent. And plus, they're my favorite conference, you know, not counting SEC homers. They're my favorite, most entertaining conference.
Right, right. Like, you don't really know who's going to win the Big 12. Whereas I think in the ACC, it's like, okay, it's probably going to be Clemson. But who knows how good Clemson is. I guess we'll find out against Georgia. But regardless, we can move on a bit here. Any other games, maybe Saturday night, that you're looking forward to?
Yes, I have one. Notre Dame at Texas A&M.
Another great game.
Is this the year? Is this the year for the Aggies?
Okay, when you said, is this the year, I'm like, for which team? Like, I feel like both teams kind of, you know, have been asking that question.
We always hear it. But hey, I mean, statistically speaking, one of them has to win this game and it be their year, right?
That's true. That's true. I mean, Texas A&M usually does perform very well early on in the season. Have you noticed this? And then, like, the rails fall off about, like, a third of the way through. So they have that going for them. The thing is, like, they have a new head coach. And again, I forget who. It's the guy from Duke, right? The
former, Mike Elko.
And I'm not really sold on the guy. I'm biased, of course, because my username is Jimbo Fisher, and I was a big Jimbo fan. But, like, I don't know what to make of him. Like, they might win this game, but I'm not high on A&M anytime.
He's such a kind of quiet, reserved type of coach, it seems like, where he's not, you know, into the flashiness. And Texas A&M, they want to be flashy, but they kind of aren't. Yeah. I don't know. It's a weird vibe. It's a weird fit that I think could work. It's odd.
It I know what you're saying, man. Because, like, I feel like A&M as a program is one of the most obnoxious and loud, you know, football schools imaginable. Probably the most obnoxious, if we're being honest. And there's something about this, like, kind of reserved guy that just doesn't – I just don't know if he's a good cultural fit for the program in a way that Jimbo on paper was. You know, Jimbo's a very, like, larger-than-life personality, big on interviews and stuff. I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see how this plays out. Who do you think wins this one? Notre Dame?
I'm going to give it – oh, man.
I lean Notre Dame the more I think about it. I think they'll find a way.
I'll lean Notre Dame, too, because Marcus Freeman has kind of gotten his groove going. I know he struggled early.
Yeah, he seems like a good coach.
The thing with Mike Elko is, like, he had success at Duke, but you have to remember, you know, he was only there 2 years. You don't know how much of that could have been attributed to maybe, like, one or two key players kind of thing, luck of the draw.
Right. No, I agree totally.
And it wasn't like he lit the world on fire at Duke. He just did okay.
They had that one big win over Clemson. And, like, in hindsight, Clemson's not that great, you know. So I guess
exactly.
We'll see. I guess we'll see. There's one final game this weekend I wanted to talk about, which is actually on Sunday night. That's right, we're getting spoiled here this week. There's football on Sunday. USC versus LSU. This is a ranked matchup in Las Vegas. What do you make of both of these teams? Because to me, both are, like, a little bit sus.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is they are both a little bit sus. It's almost like you can gain zero knowledge from watching this game, apart from a little bit of entertainment, because you have no idea how either of these team seasons will play out.
Right.
I'm going to look at USC's schedule. They do have to play Michigan week 3. Oh, they play Wisconsin.
They play us. Looking forward to that one. Yeah.
Penn State, Maryland, Notre Dame to end the season.
LSU is interesting. I'll say this. They have a fairly manageable schedule outside of Alabama and Ole Miss. I think they could run the table. Like, this could be like a 10-2 LSU, maybe on the fringe for like a wild card playoff spot. So I think they're going to come out, you know, guns blazing this game. Like, you know, a 13th ranked team. Like, they kind of know they're in that position where they're probably not going to win the SEC, but they might have a chance at still making the playoffs.
I almost feel like Brian Kelly just kind of is who he is as a coach. Or he's a 10-3 coach, 11-2 coach. That's right. Just who he is, no matter what program he's at. And I think he's settling into that.
Yeah. The question then is, like, is that good enough to get you into the playoffs? Probably with the SEC. I think there's going to be, you know, there's going to be 2-loss teams, maybe even a 3-loss team in the playoffs this year.
I will be curious to see how that works out, because we know with the 12-team playoff, what, there's 5 automatic bids and then 7 at-large spots. So I wonder what's going to happen when it comes to, say, maybe the second team in the Big 12 versus the third or fourth team in the SEC or Big 10,
right.
You know, second team in the ACC or third team in the ACC versus the fourth team in the
well,
That's just the Big Ten.
Well, now that we've kind of talked about games, I just wanted to talk about that real quick with you, Randy. This sort of 12-team playoff picture. We've had the whole offseason really digest it. And I think I was talking to you about this like a couple of weeks ago on Discord, but I've come to the conclusion that the fifth seed, whoever gets the number five seed, is going to have just the easiest path to the national championship every single season. Because let's face it, like, unfortunately, due to the rules and how like the playoff seeding works, the number three and the number four seed will always be the Big 12 and ACC champion. Do we agree on that?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. And therefore, the five seed is going to play the 12 seed. And the 12 seed is always going to be the AAC champion. So probably Memphis, Tulane. Okay.
Well, hold on. You have to remember the 12 seed.
I'm holding.
The fifth conference champion. Oh, wait. No, the fifth conference champion does not get the automatic bye. It's only the top four.
It's going to be. People aren't realizing this.
I see what you're saying now.
It's going to be a 12 seeded. Like Tulane.
It's going to be Liberty or something.
Yeah, at the 12 seed. And they're going to have to go to number five. They're going to go to number five, Alabama, or like number five, Ohio State. It's not going to be close. You know what I mean? And then the number five seed is going to win that game and then immediately face the number four seed in probably like, I don't know, Clemson or Oklahoma State. Like one of these kind of crappy like ACC schools. You know what I mean? I don't know, man. Like I really think... The five seed might have the best chance of winning the national title.
I can see that, but still, the five seed is going to be what, the SEC or Big Ten runner up?
Yeah, pretty much guaranteed.
I don't even know if that's true. They might give it to.
No. Think about it. Like,
That's right. That's right.
Like, it's probably going to be like Alabama versus Georgia in the SEC championship every single season. And whoever loses that is going to get the five seed. It's just how it works.
I also do wonder how we're going to deal with conference championship games moving forward. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, if you make the SEC championship game, you're in no matter what. You're in the playoff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'll be curious how that works. I mean, you do get a huge benefit from winning in that you do get a bye week. That's more than anything time to rest up.
Right. Right.
So I could see that being supremely valuable. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't watch the NFL. You watch more than I do.
I do.
How important that week one bye is in the NFL playoffs.
It's interesting because, like, obviously everyone wants the bye, but part of me does kind of feel like there is some truth to, you know, like, playing games, like, staying kind of in that, like, match form, you know, like, can kind of be good for you, even if you're not getting as much rest as other teams. You got to think, like, certain teams are going to, like, let's say the five seed, for example, actually, may play in its conference championship game, and then immediately play a playoff game for the quarterfinal or whatever. In contrast, there might be teams that never made the conference championship, like Notre Dame, for example, right? Say Notre Dame gets in at like number 12, right? Like they're going to have a huge gap between their final game of the season and that first playoff game. It can kind of go both ways, right? Like having that much time off, like, yeah, you're probably going to get some guys more healthy and whatnot. But like, on the other hand, here's a team that just played Georgia, you know, in the SEC championship. Like they're prepared. Like they know how to deal with anything.
Exactly. And I mean, to be fair, you know, if you're the five seed, play the 12 seed, if you're playing like Liberty or something, you're not going to have the same intense physical matchup.
Yeah.
If Liberty beats you, it's not because they were just so physical. It's because they have a lot of trick plays and they're fast or something.
And
along
you like
those
beat
lines.
Yourself, that's kind of a thing, you know.
Yeah,
it should be fun though. I'm really looking forward to. I think the one thing about this new playoff structure that I really really do like is the fact that teams are going to be able to host a playoff game on campus. I think that's going to be
those first. Oh, it's going to be so great.
And I mean, dude, I'm just saying, as a Bama fan, I think you are in a great position this year to where Bama probably could be hosting a playoff game in year one.
I'm not going to give my hopes up too much. I wanted to actually make a point, you know, kind of a side point is I'm actually excited. I'm going to be more invested in watching Group of Five games and kind of keeping up at the top of the Group of Five.
Yeah.
Just to see, because now they actually have a playoff spot. It's going to be very interesting to see how, I guess, Group of Five competition shapes up. I mean, I imagine these Group of Five teams are going to treat simply making the playoff and celebrate that the way a normal team would celebrate winning the national championship.
Sure. I mean, it
just to have a playoff spot.
I could see it being a thing like long term over the course of maybe 4 or 5 years where a team emerges as like the premier G5 school, like Tulane, again, for example. You know, if they make the playoffs every single season, like 3 years in a row, I could see that ultimately maybe leading to one of them, like a G5 school getting promoted to like probably the Big 12 or something at some point.
Possibly. I could also see a situation similar to college basketball where some teams, like, they use their easier schedule to their advantage in college basketball.
Right.
Where you have the kind of mid-major teams like Gonzaga.
Yeah.
They're always going to have an easy playoff, easy tournament, you know, bid. Easy tournament schedule because they're able to just beat up on their conference and be a 1 or 2 seed, right?
Yeah, so I
could see something like that where you have a, maybe like a group of the group of five that kind of elevates themselves to be like always fighting for that last spot.
Right, right. It will be fun to see. I mean, I'm glad that the G5 will at least get a chance. But again, on the other hand, I keep thinking that like that G5 school is going to have to go to, you know, Columbus in like December and just get...
And I wonder how their style of play is going to change when they play. Like, are they going to try to actually try to match up physically and think they can do that? Because I know they want to pretend like they can.
Yeah, I mean,
but are they going to...
That's interesting. The G5 schools that, like, have had success in the past tended to be kind of fast and, like, you know, kind of dexterity over strength sort of a thing. I think back to those UCF teams, the UCF team that won the national championship against Auburn. They were a quick school. They were kind of a sneaky, quick school. You know what I mean?
It's kind of like that tape, right?
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's very true. It's just going to be very interesting to see how that shapes up.
For sure. Any other topics, Randy, you want to cover?
I believe that we've covered pretty much everything that I've wanted to cover. We had a pretty big episode because we had to cover basically the whole offseason. I can't think of any other offseason news unless you have anything else to bring up.
I'll say this before we conclude this week's episode. How about we just real quick give final predictions on the P4 conference champion winners. Who do you think is going to win it in the Big Ten, SEC, ACC, and Big 12?
Okay, so we'll start with the Big 12. I suppose I'm actually going to choose Colorado.
Come on!
Okay,
No.
Colorado, I am fully bought in. Shedeur Sanders, you know, for all of the faults of his father, is an amazing quarterback. If you remember last year on, like, what was it, a freaking 3 or 4 win team, he still had some insane touchdown to interception ratio, insane stats. Travis Hunter's there. I could see them, you know, with it being the Big 12, I could see them beating up on the conference. Maybe not beating up on the conference, but they have a little something the other teams don't.
Wow, that something is called fraudulence. That is a bold take, Randy. That's like your hottest take of the year so far. In the Big 12, I'm going to go with Oklahoma State. The Cowboys, the Pokes, giving Gundy a hundy on this one. I don't think they'll be good. But then again, I don't think any Big 12 team will actually be good. Like, no Big 12 team will be deserving the playoffs. But someone has to win. And I do think it will be the Cowboys this year.
I have to say, I really love the Big 12 as a conference,
just the way
it's set up. Because it makes sense geographically, for the most part.
Does it? I mean, they've got West Coast teams
Take away West Virginia, UCF, and it makes perfect sense. And it's like a very, like, plains, southwestern, mountain westy, kind of in that same area kind of conference.
I guess. I'll say this, like, in a way... The Big 12 not having a single juggernaut anymore with both Oklahoma and Texas gone, like, it does kind of feel like a toss-up as to who can win. Like, I can't see with certainty that it's going to be Oklahoma State, because it could just as likely be Utah or, like, Kansas State, right? Or maybe, like, a surprise team, like, I don't know, like TCU again, you know? Like, it's totally up in the air in that regard.
I mean, that's what I'm seeing, too. When I look down the Big 12 standing, which now has freaking 16 teams, there's not a single team where I'm like, oh, no, they're not going to win it.
The only time I'd say that for
like all Colorado. 16 have an equal chance at winning this conference. It's kind of crazy.
We'll see. We'll see. I'm going to give you so much crap on Colorado, dude, if you're wrong. You can give me crap.
Well, I'm just going to blow it even harder from right then.
Yeah. All right. He's drinking the Kool-Aid. All right, let's move on to another unexciting conference, We're hating today, dude. I'm hating today.
All right, so now we're going for the Big Ten.
No. let's do the ACC. Let's do the ACC real quick. I'll start. It's got to be Clemson, right? Like, after Florida State, it's got to be Clemson.
I just don't see who else could possibly win the ACC. I mean, maybe North Carolina or Miami or even Louisville could have a good year, but Clemson kind of has – I know Clemson's taken a step back, but they're still the most physical team in the conference, which matters a lot.
Well.
Like, anybody – of course, it could be anybody on any given day, but when it comes to surviving the slate of the conference, you need that physicality week after week after week after week.
Right. I mean, the thing is, Clemson, yeah, they're probably going to get pantsed by Georgia this week, but that's not a conference game. You know, they're going to have plenty of time to recoup and get their act together. Looking at their schedule, the only other ranked teams they play this year, NC State and Florida State. So those are both quite winnable. I think Clemson's going to win the ACC this year.
All right. Let's move on to
the Juggernaut Conference, why don't we? The defending national champions. Let's go to the Big Ten. Okay, I had to do it, Randy.
Let's hear your prediction first.
Okay, I can't believe I'm saying this, but Oregon's going to win the Big Ten in year one. I think they're the most...
Ooh, I like it. It's kind of spicy. I've been really wanting to say Oregon, but I'm going to have to say Ohio State.
Really?
Ohio State has they have dropped all of their bags possible to like sell out on this one year.
Yeah.
Because they got Quinshon Judkins and Caleb Downs. They are paying up, and they are you know, full steam ahead on this season.
And they're up there with Georgia. They're like kind of like one and two as far as like most talented rosters go, right? But I will say this, Randy. I was at B-Dubs today getting lunch, and guess what was on the TV? They were re-showing the Ohio State versus Missouri game, the bowl game that happened last year. And I think people are forgetting, Ohio State lost to Missouri, I think it was 14-3. They put up 3 points in the entire game against Missouri.
To be fair, they have, like, what, their third-string quarterback playing?
I'm just saying, Will Howard, the transfer from Kansas State, he's not going to be, you know, he's no Stroud, let's just say. I think Ohio State's going to be good, but, like, dude, this offense is going to suck. Like, straight up suck. I think Wisconsin's offense is better than Ohio State's. I'm serious. I think Ohio State's going to
have a lower
50% in the Big Ten type offense. The defense will be elite, make no mistake, but the offense will lose them.
I don't think their offense is going to be. I think they're going to transition to a more kind of power run team, especially with Quinn. Well, not power run, but with Quinshon Judkins, they're going to, you know, kind of focus on more of the running game.
Sure.
They're going to have a strong offensive line because they got some offensive line transfers, including the one that lost us the Michigan game.
What do you know?
Well, actually, maybe you're right. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not trying to sound like too much of a hater, even though I'm a hater, but I think Ohio State, even if they go like 11-1 and like on paper are a really good team, I think when they get to the playoffs and they face a team like Georgia, like Bama, dude, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be bad.
Speaking of Wisconsin, I'm looking at your schedule.
It's rough, dude. Come on. No.
It's rough, but the three roughest parts are all at home for you. So.
That's true. We play Alabama at home this year, Penn State at home this year, Oregon at home this year. As a fan and a season ticket holder, I am so looking forward to this season, seeing all these good teams for once. But yeah, we're going to lose all those games. Like, I've already accepted it.
I'll say, if you didn't play us, you would have a very possible, you know, kind of shot at some things.
Next year, 2025 is the year. 2025 is the year. Quote me on that.
Also, if you have to remember, Wisconsin is going to be Alabama's first real game for Kalen DeBoer. Because before that, we played, Western Kentucky and South Florida.
Yeah.
You're the first real game.
It's true. I mean, to be fair, you're our first real game, too. But, yeah, that should be a fun one. The Alabama game, I feel like my whole life has been leading up to this. To see Alabama come to Camp Randall. It's going to be completely surreal, and I cannot wait.
It's going to be a good game. All right, so now let's move on to the SEC. I'm just going to be – well, I can't say it, so I'm going to let you
go. Already declared Alabama the national champion like 5 minutes ago.
I did no such thing.
I'm just saying. I mean, so you're going to Alabama. I'm going to counter that by saying Georgia is still Georgia, dude. Like, they're going to be so hard to beat. And I know you beat them last year. But you have to admit, like, it's going to be tough beating them again.
Well, we do play them the week after Wisconsin. Actually, 2 weeks after Wisconsin. But yeah. The game after Wisconsin, because we have a bye week.
That, God. I mean, Alabama's schedule is tough this year, dude. You play them, and you play Texas, too, I think?
Yeah, we play Georgia, Missouri, LSU. No, we play Oklahoma. Georgia, Oklahoma, LSU, Missouri, Tennessee. I mean, we could have gotten a worse schedule. Really, Georgia's the big, tough one.
Right. I agree. I mean, I think Alabama probably loses to Georgia and maybe drops one of Tennessee, Missouri, Oklahoma down the road. But even then, like a 10-2 Alabama is going to make the playoffs. Like I think a 10-2 SEC team in general is probably going to be.
But that's the thing. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I don't know if a 10-2 SEC team that doesn't make the SEC championship game would make it.
No. We should make some predictions right now for the season. I'm calling this right now, dude. There are going to be 5 SEC teams in the playoffs.
No, there's not going to be that many.
I'm not trying to be doomer. There would be 4 Big Ten teams as well. Dude, it's just, like, you look at the, look, dude.
Florida State. Let's face it, at a certain point, it's stupid to include a probable, like, what, 9-3 Ole Miss team? A 9-3 Texas A&M team? They're not going to include a 9-3 Texas A&M team over an 11-1, I don't know, Colorado or something.
I think they will. And I'm not, I won't even be mad. I'm not even mad. I think the ACC and Big 12, there is a serious gap. Like, there's always been kind of a gap, but, like, it's big now. Because they lost their best teams. Like, Texas and OU were the Big 12. And they're gone. So, like,
the way, I get what you're saying, there is definitely a gap, because it's almost like the way the gap plays out is that technically the top of their conference is as good as can compete on the same field as maybe some of the best of the SEC and Big Ten. But it's like they're softer, the softer teams they play go against them, because it's like, oh, you think they'd stay healthier over the course of the season. What ends up happening is they become softer with their schedule. Yes. And they're not used to physicality. So then as soon as they actually need it, they just don't know how to respond because they are so taken aback by it.
Yeah,
even though logically they know the teams they're about to play are super physical.
This is true. No, I dude.
And that's why I think these teams also do better in week one.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, man. Like, one thing I'm looking forward to with this new Big Ten, for example, is we're playing a much tougher schedule. That's going to be good for the players. Like, it's good that our players are facing Alabama and Oregon and Penn State instead of, like, Indiana and, like, Maryland. You know what I mean? Like, you're getting serious competition. Like, it's going to force not just Wisconsin but teams in general playing harder schedules. Like, it brings the overall. Like, the overall productivity up, I think, for everyone. Like everyone benefits in a conference when the conference is better. You know what I mean?
And I completely agree. And here's the thing is, I know we've been sad about the loss of the Pac-12. This is why I said in the beginning of the episode that I think college football is in probably the greatest spot it can be for the future. Because, like, these schedules are not going away anytime soon.
No.
This is the future schedule of college football. And we are still getting great games like we saw in week 0 for even the quote-unquote lesser conferences.
Seriously.
That have huge impacts on the playoffs.
Literally, I was going through the schedule this year. I was going through, like, week by week in 2024. Seriously, every single week we've got, like, a banger, like, Alabama versus Texas caliber type game. Just somewhere, right? Somewhere in the country, there's like an insane Big Ten matchup or an insane SEC matchup. And it is going to be good, I think, for the fans to like have this kind of caliber of game happening every single week. Like from here on out, like this is the future, like you're saying.
And I don't even think it's just that. I think a lot of the quote-unquote smaller games are now going to have a lot more attention paid to them because, like, okay, let's say hypothetically Florida State becomes a totally new team overnight.
Yeah.
If they are, what, 10-1, 11-1 going into the SEC championship game, people are good. Or no. Let's say they are, 10-1 going into the Florida game.
Okay.
People are going to pay attention to that game because they know what it means, regardless if they're in the ACC championship or not.
Right.
They know what that Florida game is going to mean and how huge that is for playoff implications. Like,
right.
It kind of just shifts where the interest is in certain games.
I agree. I mean, I really do think it's going to be good for those teams that are kind of on the edge, like, again, like a 15th ranked type team, the kind of team that Wisconsin used to be, you know, like 5 years ago. It's going to be great for sort of like the upper middle class of college football. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to this Friday. God, this Saturday, dude. Are you going to the game?
I'm not going to the game. We are staying home.
Well, have fun, though, regardless. I mean, it's going to be a fun Saturday.
It will be.
It's going to be a fun season. It's going to be a fun year of the Jib Podcast. We're back, Randy. I can't thank you enough for joining
us. We are back.
It's good to be back.
It is good to be back, and we do plan to have some guests, and we will get that sorted shortly.
Amen, brother. Until then, folks, once again, thank you, as always, for listening to the Jib Podcast. You know what they say. Roll Tide.
On Wisconsin.